Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
Bears, 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 Bears. Football, football, football.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
We are playing some meaningful games. That's a credit to our players for battling through that. So it just makes you proud to be their coach.
That's almost damning with faint praise, isn't it? I think it was a weird comment, to be honest with you. We'll find out tomorrow if these games are meaningful, if they get over 500, and if they really have a chance to make a run of some kind. But, you know, three in a row, you could be proud of after losing, what, four earlier in the year? It's a little premature, in my opinion. You're a 500 team. Right? Get over 500 and come talk.
Mully and Hall.
I get a kick out of you guys.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
The Bulls return home tonight to play the Grizzlies without Ja Morant. Does that make this a must win?
Last time the Bulls welcomed a team with six wins to the United Center, they were beaten. And the Blazers came in and they looked like the Blazers back with the Clyde Drexler days. And that's not good, and it won't be good tonight if the Bulls can't win this game. There's no excuse for them to lose. Morant's not playing, and the Grizzlies come in here 6-14. There are only two teams in the West that are worse than them. You cannot lose this game.
Mully and Hall.
It's a hell of a team.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I love hearing about the Clyde Drexler era, because the Clyde Drexler era in Portland might be the most significant moment in Chicago sports history. Of course, because Clyde Drexler was in Portland, they opted to take Sam Bowie in an NBA draft, allowing Michael Jordan,
yeah, he changed history,
who they felt was a redundant player for them, believe it or not, because they had Clyde Drexler, so they let him come to Chicago, and that changed the history of this franchise,
the history
of this city, and a lot of people grew up with Michael Jordan winning titles, and it's a glorious and wondrous thing.
Yeah, these aren't those Blazers,
and these aren't those, no. There's nothing in this town that is that era, right?
The statue's out there, but the rest of the scenery at the United Center, it's hard to see any semblance of a juggernaut, if you will.
Yeah.
They need to win tonight. So that's the Bulls. That's our Bulls.
That's our Bulls breakdown.
That's our Bulls breakdown for tonight.
Let's get back to our Bears breakdown. Yeah. They need to win too, don't they?
They also need to win. It's definitely a must win if you want to talk about the playoffs.
We talked about this a month ago because we saw it coming, right? You saw that they were going to beat the Giants, that they were going to beat the Lions, and then this was going to be the game that kind of, because, you know, Akeem Hicks is ready to come back, and he'll be back when you go up to Green Bay. And they, again, can't return a punt. That becomes more significant. But this game tomorrow night will determine whether any of the games moving forward in December mean
anything. I didn't see them losing to the Chargers. You know, I didn't. So I can't say that a month ago, I didn't expect them to be in this exact spot, because they shouldn't have lost to the Chargers. And there are games now, they are 6-6. And there's no reasonable argument you can really make that says, you know, they're going to make the playoffs or even win tomorrow night. But they should be 8-4, realistically. If they had a kicker, I'm still going to say they should be 8-4. And if they go in tomorrow night, to me, and I had to ask Michael Lombardi about this, this is one of those games where it's difficult to see how the Bears are going to beat the Cowboys, and with the NFL's leading passer, yards per play. This is a big play offense. They have Ezekiel Elliott. If you're Chuck Pagano, and you've spent the entire season hearing about what you're not Vic Fangio, you don't have the defense that 2018 had, and there's so much focus on the offense, this is an opportunity. This, you want this, and I'm telling you, I know you're going to shoot it down, and I'm not saying that this is the way it's going to go, but the mindset the Bears should take is that this game tomorrow night, prime time, Thursday night, the Cowboys, marquee matchup. This has got to be the Rams game from last year. This has got to be their 2018 Rams moment, the defining moment of the season. You're Chuck Pagano. You've got no Akeem Hicks. You've got no Danny Trevathan. You've got no Prince of Mukamura. And you find a way to scheme your way to a victory.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see that at all. I don't see – I've been waiting for him to kind of unleash the dogs of war for a long time here and haven't seen that happen. So it's hard for me to jump in and say that he's going to go ahead and do that. I think that what we're seeing from the Bears might be a false positive, and this is a chance for them to prove that it isn't. This is a better team than the Chargers, who the Bears lost to at home. This is a better team on paper anyway than the Bears are. So you got to be able to beat this team. You got to be able to beat them up front, and you got to be able to handle a wide receiver when you're down a corner. And really, more than anything else, you got to take advantage of the fact that Jason Garrett is a dead man walking.
That's kind of my point, though. You're not going to beat him up front. You're just not. You're not going to beat him up front.
What if you went after the quarterback a little bit?
That's what I mean.
Well, that's we've been calling for that for like a month.
You've got it, but now you've not faced these kind of circumstances in the past month. This is as desperate of a mode as you're going to face. You got two teams that, you know, we can talk about who is the more desperate team that's going to arrive at Soldier Field tomorrow night. I think it's a toss up. You have the Cowboys.
I think it's the Cowboys because they're going to the playoffs. And they have the Bears have a 3% chance. What is the Cowboys' chance? There are four games left in the year. They got a one game lead in their division. They are in a really good position. They're going to play Philadelphia. That will determine
they're
whether
less
they're
desperate.
In or out. Well, I think
because they could lose and still get to the playoffs. The Bears losing, it's over.
Well,
it's over.
I mean, but that they are more likely to get to the playoffs is my point, which should make them more desperate for a win.
Well, if you look at it that way, but I think that you could almost look at it. If they leave Soldier Field tomorrow night after losing, they can still rationalize it all the way back home to Texas and say, you know what, at least we're in the NFC East. If the Bears lose tomorrow night, they're leaving Soldier Field. They're thinking about 2020.
Okay, that's fair. If the Bears win tomorrow night, then they could lose the following game or the game after or the game after. The Bears are not going to run the table. They're not going to close the season on a six-game winning streak. They haven't shown a hint of being able to do that. We're sitting here and we're celebrating that Mitch has thrown six touchdown passes or eight touchdown passes in his last four games, six of them against the Lions, three in each game. We're, a lot of it is a false positive.
I'm not even making the argument they can win the game. I'm suggesting that the way that they win this game has very little to do with Mitch Trubisky or the offense. The offense has got to score enough points. But if you're a defensive football team and you have a mentality and you're playing against an offense that should be able to move the football against you in theory, it reminds me of the opportunity that they faced last year when the Rams came to town with Jared Goff and with Todd Gurley and with that offense and that sort of fear factor, the intimidation factor. And the Bears shut him down.
I think the very fact that you brought up the Rams, it makes me think of this year's game in Los Angeles and the fact that by losing that game, you've got the Rams ahead of you in the race, okay? They effectively are two games ahead of you, even though they're only one game ahead of you, because they beat you. So let's say one of these teams falls apart that's ahead of you. Let's say that the Vikings don't answer the bell. Then the Rams will make the playoffs well before you do. So this is part of the problem here. You got a really hard road to playing in, and it's just what? To me, it's I think they've already. I get it. I get
think
they're mathematically alive.
But
you're saying they're mathematically alive, and if they win, they're more desperate because their season ends if they lose. And I'm saying if they don't lose to Dallas, then they're going to lose at Green Bay. They're going to lose at home to the Chiefs. They're going to lose at Minnesota. I don't have any faith
in their ability to run the table. Should look at it and can look at it as an analyst and on the outside looking in. We started talking about this. How are the Bears going to approach this game? And if I'm looking at these two teams, in the respective locker rooms, I think the sense of desperation is going to be greater for the Bears because of what you kind of just said. They win tomorrow, and it's still an uphill climb. It's still there's no guarantee of anything because of the teams that they play on the schedule. So they have no margin for error. Tomorrow may be the softest of the final four opponents they're going to play. If you're the Cowboys,
it is.
You're like, well, you know, at least we have.
We still play Philadelphia.
At least we still play Philadelphia. At least we're still in the East. And you know what? We're still going to probably play in a playoff game to save Jason Garrett's job.
Are you more desperate then if you have less of a chance, or are you just following a
play? Think of survival. Think of anything as survival. Okay. If you have less of a chance to do anything, you're like, okay, I feel pretty desperate by that idea. I don't know. I guess it depends on how you define desperation.
I'll be very curious to see if they are really kind of propped up by these last two wins, which really, I mean, David, the idea that Detroit had the ball and Edelman drops a pass on the 5-yard line or can't extend to get a catch on the 5-yard line, and so you lose that game. Both of these games that they won, they barely won. And if they can continue to do that, that's great. But when you step up in class, you would imagine. I mean, this is a team with more wins than both those opponents put together. Mm-hmm. I just think we might be judging the Bears on victories over teams that anybody could beat. That's my fear. And I hate to be negative about it, but I'm from Missouri. You got to show me.
You're not from Missouri.
No. And you really don't have to show me because I feel like I have an understanding of it already. Love to hear from you. 312-644-6767. We're going to talk to Jerry DiNardo.
College and football talk next.
College football.
Yeah, a lot going on in the Big Ten.
But we want to get to your calls. Mully and Hall on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network college football analyst, NCAA. Mully and Hall's college football expert.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Jerry DiNardo joins us on the El Pamonte Ford Hotline, El Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Hey, Jerry.
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great.
Well, we're all pumped up. It's the Big Ten title game is set. You got Ohio State, number one in the country, taking on number 8, Wisconsin. Ohio State is installed as a 16-point favorite. They, of course, won the first meeting this year, 38-7. Jerry, is this the best matchup? Would it be better if Minnesota were there, or is Wisconsin the best team to go against Ohio State?
Oh, boy. Hard to tell. I mean, I would lean towards Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin-Minnesota just played, so you'd have to say, you know, recent competition that looked like Wisconsin was the better team. Certainly surprised that Minnesota dropped to 18, but if you trust the committee at all, it looks like it would be the best matchup because Wisconsin's obviously ranked way above Minnesota. So that's a tough question, tough answer, but I would lean towards Wisconsin just the way it is.
Jerry, what happened to Illinois? How bad was that loss? They didn't show up against Northwestern. Northwestern plays well. They win that game. But this Illinois team, they're going to a bowl game, but did the losing in that final game to Northwestern the way they did dampen the turnaround?
A little bit. You know, I think you have to look at it big picture. You know, you wish maybe they didn't finish that way if you're obviously an Illinois fan. But, you know, I still think, David, you know, great progress this year. I mean, think about Illinois before the Wisconsin game. It wasn't only that they upset Wisconsin. It turned the whole thing around. I think that's rare. You know, I mean, it's also pretty obvious that, you know, since the Wisconsin game, they've done really well. But seldom do you see that kind of upset have that kind of impact on a team. So I'm sure they're disappointed. The most disappointing thing is not playing their best. You know, you can play your best and lose. I don't think Illinois can say that, and that probably bothers them a little bit. On the other hand, it should motivate them for the bowl game.
Mick McCall loses his job. Very rare you see coaches leaving Northwestern. Did it surprise you in any way, or did you see that coming? And can the new guy bring a quarterback with him?
Oh, I didn't know what Fitz was doing. You know, I think she's really unpredictable in these type of situations, and that's probably a good trait, you know, that he keeps things to himself, and if he is having an issue, he doesn't throw coaches under the bus during the season. I don't think any of us are surprised that he made the change, but again, I think it was a little Fitz being a little unpredictable. If he would have kept Mick, you know, I wouldn't have been surprised at that at all. I think Mully, I think the biggest thing is the second part of the question, you know, where do they go from here? Are they going to continue to be a spread team? You know, this is a defensive coach, although, you know, Fitz has been a head coach long enough now where maybe it's unfair calling him a defensive coach. But, you know, this is where it becomes difficult for someone whose orientation is defense. Do you bring somebody in that wants complete control, that's going to change the terminology, that may not be exactly what you've done in the past? I mean, is it a $1.3 million coordinator that is considered one of the best in the country? Is it someone that the head coach can control? Is it compatible with Mike Hankowitz's defense? I mean, this is a really, really big decision. Does he fit into the way things have been done? You know, when you have a new staff and you hire a new coach, you kind of grow together. When you have a veteran head coach like Fitz who's had as much success as he's had and you insert someone that is going to control the game. This isn't a defensive coordinator. This person controls the game more than the head coach on game day and more than the defensive coordinator. That's the tricky part about an offensive coordinator. More power, more control come game day.
Speaking of coaches, out in Rutgers, Greg Schiano ends up going back there. Jerry works it out. The New Jersey governor gets involved. There's a lot of layers to that story. But can he win there? Can anyone win there?
Okay, yes and yes. The only word of caution is this is similar to me, although Greg didn't play there. This is Jim Harbaugh going back to Michigan and thinking it's the same. This is Scott Frost going back to Nebraska and thinking it's the same. The world used to be flat. It's now round. These coaches that are going back, whether you're an ex-player or an ex-coach, it is so much different than when you were there the last time. It's night and day. It's a different game. It's a different environment. We see Peterson at Washington. He's walking away. He's 55 years old because of recruiting. You know, for all the things that Urban has said and done and all that, the one difference in his life now, other than he's obviously not as busy, is recruiting. He's not constantly on the phone, constantly recruiting. Rutgers wasn't in the Big Ten East the last time Greg was there. So is this a perfect choice? I think so. Can he win there? Yes. But if anyone thinks that this isn't harder, maybe 100 times harder than the last time he was at Rutgers, that they really haven't been paying attention since he left.
Ohio State is in the college playoff no matter what, but will they stay number one if they win and LSU ends up beating Georgia? And how important is it to remain number one? How important is seeding in these things?
I think pretty important. Number one, You get to pick your location, I think. You know, there's some debate whether it's the number one seat goes closest of the two sites or if number one seat has their choice. But I think that's one thing. If you go to Arizona, you've got a time change, although the other game's so far away. But that trip to the West Coast or in Arizona, I think, is significant. So I think that's part of it. And obviously the seed, you should be better on paper than the fourth seed, whereas if you're 2 and 3, I think the matchup is much closer. You know, last time Ohio State won this game, I felt like the winner of the Alabama-Ohio State semifinal was going to beat the winner of 2 and 3. And that's what wound up happening, because at that time I thought 1 and 4 was the two best teams. So, Molly, I think it's significant. I do think they'll stay there. I don't know why they would move them down. I'm not sure that LSU had a tougher early schedule and an easier later schedule, and I think it indicates that Ohio State is a better team towards the end of the year. And LSU's defense is an issue for the committee.
Our conversation with Jerry DiNardo on this Bears Friday on a Wednesday is brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. Okay, Jerry, so the coach of the year for the media vote went to, in the Big Ten, Ryan Day at Ohio State. The coach of the year voted by the coaches went to P.J. Fleck at Minnesota. How do we interpret that?
Boy, that's a good question. I thought the same thing when I saw that. I don't know how to interpret it. I kind of thought if it was the other way, it would be easier to interpret. You know, the head coach of Ohio State never wins the Coach of the Year award, or very rarely does. I think Earl Bruce was the last one to do it. Jim Tressel didn't win it, and he won a national championship. Urban certainly did it, and he won a national championship. I think the head coach at Ohio State, by coaches, is looked at. They have better players than everybody else. Why should they lose a game? That might be it. You know, I think that's probably it. The three of us have watched games. I mean, has Ohio State not separated itself personnel from everybody in the conference?
Yes.
So if you're a coach, you know even more than the three of us, right? I mean, they study those guys in and out. They lose to them in recruiting. The stadium is like an SEC stadium. And so a coach may say, well, shoot, you know, why shouldn't he be undefeated? That could be it. I don't know, David. Tough question.
We'll let you go, Jerry, just quickly on the way out. The Big Ten title game will feature Fields and Dobbins and Young and Taylor, arguably the guys who've had the best year in the Big Ten. If you could only have one of them, who would it be?
Fields. I think anytime you have a choice, you know, especially in the spread offense, this is a quarterback-centric game now in college. As the quarterback goes, so goes the offense, so goes the program, and so goes your contract.
Wow. Yeah. David just had a seizure of some sort.
I love that answer, Jerry, but I hate that answer. We don't have enough time to get into it. Jonathan Taylor, to me, is the best player in America.
Okay.
If I were picking someone, if I was starting a pro team, I'd go with Chase Young.
See, that's interesting. That's so good. That's how good they are.
Over the place. But Jerry's right. It's the quarterback.
Yeah, it is. Good stuff, Jerry.
And as far as Dobbins is concerned, I'd be worried someone would take the shoe off the guy in the middle of the game.
there has not been enough conversation about that.
Was that unbelievable?
Molly, I know I have to go. I know I got to go. But I'm at home, and when you said, Jerry, you're right, I've never heard that from home. So that was a wonderful way to end our conversation.
All right, buddy. God bless you.
Take care, Jerry.
That's Jerry DiNardo. I'm sure he hears it all the time. Who's he kidding? Let's get to Kevbo. He never hears it.
Never.
Not on this show. Update.
Hear what?
That you're correct. You apparently can't hear.
I don't follow.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
You go through a season, and there's highs and lows for different people on different positions, whether you win or lose, statistically where you're at. And I feel like right now with us this year, right, he's at a point where he's definitely getting better. His arrow is up. He's put together four good games in regards to decision-making and producing. We've won three of the four. How you look at that long term is always going to be evaluated by all of us. And really what it comes down to is what we've said this whole time is wins. And so regardless of numbers and everything else, the fantasy stuff, are we winning? And that's where we want to continue to grow. And he's a big part of that, of playing well to help us win.
Okay.
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Did he mean the fantasy stuff like fantasy football or fantasy like fantasy versus reality?
Yeah, he must have meant fantasy versus reality,
okay,
given the fact that he's claiming, right?
No, it was fantasy football.
Okay, oh, fantasy football.
It was
the numbers.
Up whether or not, like, wouldn't Mitch feel good about the idea that he passed for over 300
the
yards?
The stats part,
had
yeah.
Touchdowns, okay. So that, you know, fantasy people might pick him up on a waiver wire or something. Wouldn't that make Mitch feel good?
I would just find
it Mitch feel good.
Fascinating when coaches refer to fantasy football or, you know, whether it's any sport. Yeah.
Well, he was asked. Yeah. He was directly asked about fantasy football.
Do you have him on your fantasy team? Has anybody taken him on their fantasy team?
No.
I don't think so.
I have one bear on my
Certainly team. Nobody from Pro Football Focus. They came out today with rankings.
And?
30 quarterbacks they ranked.
Ooh.
Because that's all the evidence they had. Mitch, where do you think 11th, they have Mitch?
11th, 12th?
No.
25th?
I haven't 29th? Seen it, but I'm going to guess 28th.
28th, exactly, Kevin. You maybe have seen it.
Well, that's my lucky number.
The only quarterbacks they have lower than Mitch Trubisky are Jacoby Brissett of the Colts, who struggled lately. And
oh, no, he's good. That's Matt Nagy.
I do like, hey.
Matt Nagy's never met a quarterback he didn't like.
I like Jacoby Brissett. He's had a tough go of it lately, but I do think he's a guy earlier in the year was having a pretty good year. Kyle Allen of the Panthers is the other guy below Trubisky, but they have Trubisky 28th, and it says it's been a rough season for Trubisky, but he's done his best work in recent weeks. He has the ninth highest percentage of negatively graded throws, and he's tied for 16th in turnover worthy play percentage.
Gotta play the Lions more often.
Says his rushing grade has dropped. He's not. This is a pretty astute observation, though, too, and I think the numbers back it up. He hasn't used his legs
much. No.
So his rushing grade dropped because of that has gone from, by their metrics, 85.5 to 54.1. You don't need metrics to understand his inability to create positive plays by running the football and improvising has cost him in the passing game.
Okay.
And I think it's limited the Bears' offense as a result. There are a lot of factors that play into that statement.
Who's got the better kicker, him or Jacoby Brissett?
Well, you know, if you had to kick one 48-yard field goal to win a game, would you go with Adam Vinatieri or Eddie Pinheiro?
Is it indoors or is it in cold weather?
Well, if it's indoors, you would say go for it on 4th and 6, right? Because that's what happened last week at Ford Field. That was from 50. I don't know. I mean, if I'm PFF and I'm ranking kickers, I think I probably have my kicker somewhere near my quarterback.
Vinatieri is 17 for 25 this year on kicks.
Yeah, I know,
that's
but still.
So he's older than Methuselah.
How old is Methuselah?
Not 3-1-2. As old as Adam Vinatieri.
312-644-6767. What was the story? Adam Vinatieri's grandfather was a trumpeter, and he did not go with
in the Civil
Custer
War
to Little Bighorn.
I don't know.
Otherwise, Adam Vinatieri wouldn't be there to kick and win field goal competitions.
I don't know that story.
I believe that was one of the Super Bowl stories that came out one year. I remember sitting there and kind of chuckling to myself.
Super Bowl
really?
Four.
This is where we're going?
Well,
the kicker wouldn't have existed?
The Twitter account of the old Colts quarterback we don't talk about anymore.
Rabid Randy is in Kenosha. Good morning, Randy. How are you? Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Randy.
Hi. I'm doing good. You know what? Quit making fun of Steady Eddie, okay?
Hey, it's cold weather, Eddie. I thought
all
we decided.
Don't make fun of Steady Eddie. He's my guy. We're sticking with him to the end of the season, and then he can be gone.
Why? I mean, really,
to the end of time.
I'm very curious. I'm more like, you know, Mully's really bothered by what Matt Nagy had to say yesterday. I'm more bothered by the fact that they have not brought in any sort of competition for a kicker they don't trust. That, to me, is more offensive because that is
a lack
of accountability.
I didn't know I had a choice. That is by far more offensive.
Is it?
You're absolutely right.
Either or.
I just thought when Matt Nagy was talking yesterday, I just kind of rolled my eyes and I thought, God, you know, am I being sold? Did someone show up at my door and try to sell me a book of encyclopedias when all I got to do is look it up? I got to Google everything? I mean, are you nuts? I felt like a guy that went on Black Friday, and I got a vacuum cleaner because it was a great deal. And then I got home, and I realized, oh, it's not a Dyson. It doesn't really suck anything up, but it is a vacuum cleaner that
I got cheap. Are they a sponsor?
Well, they're pretty good. Okay. Sorry, Randy. Go ahead.
I called because you're talking about the Bulls, and it's hard to talk about the Bulls. But there are other stories in the NBA. And the other story in the NBA, and I want to put some historical perspective on this. 1961-62 season, this player averaged in his second season, 30 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists, 80-81.
Who else, Sender? Who is it?
What are you getting at? What are you getting at, Randy?
That is Oscar Robinson.
Oscar Robinson.
And you're then in 81, Magic Johnson was 21-8-8.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And this season, this player is not even old enough to go to the clubs with his teammates yet, and he's averaging 30-10-9, and that would be Luka Doncic. And that's a story.
Yeah, he's playing great.
A long walk for a short drink of water, however that goes.
I don't know how that helps us with the Bulls.
I don't know either. I thought he was going to go into the James Harden controversy.
What he's doing while the Bulls are stinking up the NBA.
He's watching
to get his NBA appetite is to watch Dallas Mavericks play.
Yeah, that's a fun thing to do. Let's try Dennis. He's in Bradley.
Hi, Dennis.
Or is it Bourbonus?
Well, I'm a Bourbonus guy because old school fate changed in the middle of the game when I was little. Hey, I have a problem with blaming the kickers. We don't have a kicker. If we had a kicker, we could be 8-4. Well, you know what? If we had a quarterback, we wouldn't need the kicker. Why does the kicker always get crucified for not doing his job when the quarterback or the offense can't do their job?
Because he's got one job.
Thanks, Dennis.
So does the quarterback.
No.
You know, but
multitasker at quarterback. I'm sorry, he's got one job.
Personally, David, I don't like a blamer. And I feel like you have singled out Cold Weather Eddie.
I'm so sorry for that. I'm not singling him out. I guess I am singling him out.
If you had a kicker, you'd have won two more games.
I do feel like you could make the argument, as we have talked about over the season, that if you did have a reliable kicker, that you would be sitting at 8-4.
What if you had Aaron Rodgers? Where would you be sitting?
You don't have Aaron Rodgers.
If you did.
It's more inconceivable for me to have that, that's like fantasy football. It's like, okay, I'll just take out Mitch Trubisky here and put in Aaron Rodgers here. To me, that's unrealistic. What isn't unrealistic is that you had since January to go out and get a kicker to perform at a level that is acceptable by NFL standards, and he still has not, to my liking. And I guess that's why, because it's not realistic to say, you know, we'll just go out and get your Pro Bowl quarterback who's headed to the Hall of Fame. No, just give me a kicker that can kick – convert 80% of that you trust enough to try a 48-yard field goal, or you don't have to, you know, lose a game on kicking a second down.
Five teams are 10-2, tied for the best record in the league. One of them is New England. They will be using their fifth kicker this weekend, and they haven't even signed him yet.
They also have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
And Methuselah, by the way, Kevin points out, said to have died at the age of 969.
Wow.
So that's pretty old.
And I know the entire league is struggling with their kicking situation. That doesn't mean...
They are.
They are. It's tough to be a kicker these days. I don't know what it is about this season, but it's difficult to dispute that idea that if the Bears had a consistent kicker, that two of those games were winnable.
Brett is in Willowbrook, and he has a message for fellow Bear fans. Good morning, Brett.
Hey, Brett.
Morning, guys. Hey, quick comment on the kicking thing.
Yep.
You know, I hear all this, if we had a kicker, we could be 8-4. He could have just as easily missed at Denver, right? Like, you can't say we could have made these without mentioning the one that could have missed. To me, the Denver win was probably more improbable than the Charger loss. So, like, that all equals out. So that's kind of a tired excuse. But anyway, the real comment I wanted to make was, I do not understand this contingent of Bears fans that all of a sudden are, like, back on the bandwagon and think we have a chance. 2 weeks ago, everybody agreed this team was terrible. Since then, we barely beat the Giants at home, scored 19 points against a team that allows 32 a game, then barely beat the Lions with a third-string quarterback who never played a snap, scored 24 points to a team that lets up 29 a game. Like, what has anybody seen these last 2 weeks that makes you think this team is better? If anything, to me, it reaffirms that they're not, and maybe even makes me feel worse about it. Like, nobody's excited about the Bulls because they just beat the Sacramento Kings. To me, this is like the same thing, so I just don't get it at all. Like, two very unimpressive wins against terrible teams. And well, yeah, that's my comment.
They're back to 500, and now they're playing meaningful games. I don't know if you listen to Matt Nagy, but this is his sales job, and it's working on some people.
Well, I think that the reason people are buying in a little bit is because this is the Bears team that they were promised for months leading into this season. The Bulls were never a team that you expected to do anything. And those expectations are why everyone was so disappointed and why everyone is so cynical. And I get that, and that's appropriate. But when you see a team performing and winning in a way that you were always thought that they could win and perform, then you maybe some people are fooling themselves into seeing something that might not be there yet and something they want desperately to return. But it's unlikely to happen. It is unlikely to happen tomorrow night because the Cowboys come in and this is a bad matchup at the wrong time because the Bears' defense is banged up.
And the fact of the matter is the Cowboys have no big wins on their schedule, and the Bears have one big win, the game they beat the Vikings. And what happened in that game? Mitch had to leave.
So did your guy, Akeem Hicks. They played without him. Yeah, he was already out there.
But Mitch had to leave, so you had no Mitch.
No Mitch.
So now you got Mitch. Are you better off with
Mitch Trubisky
is down right now.
Let's squeeze in Matt. He's in Orland Hills.
Morning, Matt.
Hey, how's it going? Hello.
What's up, Matt?
What you got, Matt?
Oh, hey. Okay, so I don't know with the whole quarterback and kicker thing. So, you know, like the way I think about it, like football IQ, like if Mitch Trubisky's driving downfield, which, you know, it rarely happens in the first half, and then like in the third quarter he catches a hot streak and he's coming down the field, I feel like if that happens at any point in the game, you're going to want to bank on just getting points. So when you do get him to get a drive downfield, you know, the kicker has to come in and do his job, obviously, and make that kick, whether it's, you know, if Mitch gets you to the 35-yard line and it's, you know, a little bit longer of a kick, he's still got to make that kick. You know, like, you have to capitalize on everything that Mitch is doing when he's doing it. So when you do come down and miss that kick, it's like a really deflating feeling because you feel like you just blew a good drive from your quarterback. Even if he's not finishing the job and getting you in the end zone, you know, he could get you downfield. And sometimes, especially with a struggling offense, you just have to put some points on the board. You got to get some momentum. You got to get your defense feeling good. And I feel like that's, it might not be the best comparison, but kind of like with baseball, you know, you're not going to have John Lester pitch a decent game and then have a reliever come in and blow the game and then say, you know, what if Clayton Kershaw pitched this game instead? You're going to be like, you know, I wish my relievers could have done the job and kept that win for Lester. So,
yeah,
I mean,
that's a good point. It's a good analogy. I mean, you get, Eddie Pinheiro's got a little Kimbrel in him.
Wow.
I mean,
does he bring his? I mean, he makes a fraction of the salary, and he can't bring his
I'm
trainer.
I'm saying
with
in
him.
Terms of like blowing it at times. And I'm sorry, you know.
Okay, listen, you're a football player. You hate kickers. Just admit it.
I don't hate
Let's
kickers.
Just get past it.
I don't hate kickers. I do love the Beyond the Sausage Sandwich at Dunkin', and the great taste plant-based Beyond Sausage Sandwich from Dunkin' is here with 10 grams of protein in between a toasted English muffin and delicious egg and cheese. Great way to start your day. America runs on Dunkin'.
And you also love an opportunity to talk to Dan Bernstein.
We're talking about our next. Idiot kicker.
And we'll be doing that next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.